Okay, here we are back. No longer in person. Nate is in beautiful upstate on his bodega headphones. And this is going to be a quick hit because Nate has to attend to his domestic duties.
I have to go to the transfer station and drop off some recycling like a good green liberal that I am. It's actually kind of a fun transfer station. It's run by these hippies. They play like Bob Marley when you roll up. It's actually like kind of an experience. Trash hippies.
Nothing makes me feel more like a dad than rolling up to the transfer station with my recycling in the back out here. Love to do it. Try and get my son to come. He's pretty resistant to it. He really only likes to do things that are fun. But, you know, a lot of the books I've read this summer have been picked up, including a great Rene Ricard, a book on Rene Ricard that I just finished, picked up at the transfer station.
Amazing.
People leave their books that they've read there. So, you know, there's some cultural salience to it.
Yeah, the Hurley transfer station also has a little library, which I perused. I don't know if it's quite as literary as the Sag Harbor transfer station library. That would be a great sort of investigation, though.
Yeah, I mean, you could do a write-up. You know, it's all about the local news. It is literally the dog days of summer.
And we're here talking about trash. We're not talking trash. We're talking about trash.
Yeah, well, we've told we need to keep it positive for a variety of reasons these days. Listen. It is very much the dog days of summer. My email inbox, starting about the middle of this week, I would say, started pinging
yep.
with previews for Freeze and Soul, the upcoming shows in New York and in Los Angeles,
yep.
and in London and in Paris and in God knows where else, Tokyo. And so I can feel it beginning to start. I'm getting my ducks in the row. Still pretty hard to get. I've been trying to research and track down a very particular artwork, and pretty hard to get anyone on the phone on the client level these days, even if you're offering, you know, a fair amount of money for them.
People are on boats. They're unreachable, but that's August. That's typical. I'm here on my bucolic farm in Kingston, but just this morning I was in the island of Manhattan. I spent the night there in the city last night, and there's a bit of energy. People are ready to go back to work. People are ready to go back to look at the pictures. People are ready to go back to selling pictures.
Even I, Nate Freeman, I'm rip-roaring ready to go. I've been getting myself organized. I'm like sitting at the computer every day. You can't really make work happen in the line that I do. But I'm done. I've had my rest. I got my tan on. I'm hitting Barry's 2 to 3 times a week.
Love it.
And I'm just like, I'm feeling like I'm in the best shape of my life. Not in terms of my physicality, but in terms of my desire to get into the grind again.
Yeah. It was good. You know, I've been spending most of the summer up here. And it was good to, you know, tap back in with the streets, you know, capture a pulse, see what's going on. People are talking about Emrata dating Brad Pitt, which is fun.
What?
She's moved on from our unnamed
art
world.
That's a bit of an upgrade, I would say.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, sexiest man, you know, in the world via People, I think probably 8 or 9 years in a row at some point in time. I just made that up, but
renowned
I believe
sculptor,
it to be true.
Friend of Thomas Hausago.
Yeah, big
I
friend
believe.
Of Thomas Hausago.
Yes, they were spotted just the other day at Ignacio Matos's corner bar, the Dime Square Hotel. It's all happening.
Oh, I'm sorry you weren't there to spot them. I feel like that should be a Nate Freeman spotting. That's very much in your wheelhouse.
Next time.
Speaking of wheelhouse, I mean, we gotta talk about the news that everyone's talking about, from food journalists to the cultural glitterati. Your first large scale print piece in the Vanity Fair magazine,
an incredible
profile of Mario Carbone.
A lot of people are saying that it's pretty good.
What people are saying on the street. I'll say it for you. Highly readable. Great art, by the way. Incredible photos.
Thank you. Shout out Mark Peterson, an incredible photographer who has, you know, been really in the trenches in terms of photographing January 6th and MAGA rallies, some crazy, horrifying shit. And, you know, shooting Mario Carbone works for him too. It looks great.
I didn't know that background. That's cool to hear.
Really, really, really incredible photographer. That
plum assignment then after those things in terms of comfort level. But yeah, it was you really investigate how Carbone in specific and more broadly the major food group has become such a magnet for celebrity culture over the past 10 years, but especially kind of in the past 5 or so, where it is the spot that people eat at.
Yeah, and it was a really fun assignment. Like, I think when my editor, shout out Matt Lynch, greatest editor in New York City, aka the world, when he gave it to me, you know, he was pretty clear about it not being an art world story. And I was totally okay with that. But at the same time, you know, I talked to Vito Schnabel, who has, you know, done the art for all the Carbones, and also talked to Mario about art. And, you know, they see this restaurant, Carbone, as a performative thing. It's more than just like a restaurant. It's really something that is trying to capture people the same way that, you know, conceptual performance art is in a way. I mean, I don't want to elevate it to that necessarily, but I did sort of think about Carbone and its celebrity draw as a kind of like meta conceptual kind of thing. And yeah, that was really fun to explore.
Yeah, no, that's a real good takeaway from the article that I had, and but really how enmeshed it is in the cultural world, the cultural Western world right now, in terms of artists, musicians, mm-hmm. actors,
exactly.
showing up there. And you highlight something that, what do they call it? Not that they have a certain thing, the sort of like a bit that they do, or bits, and
right.
it becomes
the
kicker.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
moves, yeah. moves, yeah. yeah, which I think was a really nice spine running through the article. I'm not here to shine you off, but like, you should go and read it. It's pretty readable.
It's very good. It's very long. I've heard from people who said they have bookmarked it for the weekend, which also honestly sounds great. It's a fun weekend read.
Sure, so. But you know, you should be able to read faster, so it's not that long. It's like a Vanity
right.
Fair piece.
Yeah,
and right. I'm just saying, it's not the New Yorker. Like, you know.
No, it's not the New Yorker.
How many words did it clock in on?
I think it's around 8K.
Oh, come on. Come yeah. on. That's a 20-minute read. well, it made me very excited. I definitely have a grill reservation coming up on the 9th of September, one
oh,
of my first
great.
Big eating out events. And what is a very busy week? That's just me and a client, you know, from Chicago, the big guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty excited to dig in some grill. It'll be my first return to their environs since the pandemic reopened.
Amazing. The grill is fabulous. I went when I was researching this piece. It's as good as ever. Man, that's
really one of my favorite restaurants ever. I mm-hmm. like Carbone a lot. I loved it for a time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, you know, it's a very quotation laden meal, if you will. And if you're down for those quotations, it's fantastic. But the mm-hmm. grill is, for me, that's a restaurant that's at the center of Manhattan, thus the center of New York, and thus,
oh, yeah.
as you would say, the center of the world.
Very good, very cold martini.
Speaking of Vito, I was getting a little bit, you know, we've been seeing that he's been shooting some sort of film.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up. I'm not sure if you saw that on the socials, and I was able to break bread and vibe in with one of the producers of that film and got filled in on some of the other actors and actresses that are in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a confidential conversation, so I'm not going to get any specifics, but it could be kind of fucking bananas.
I think that it might be very good. The it's directed by Tony Kaye, who directed the classic Ed Norton movie American History X.
The final cut of which he has disavowed,
right.
or the release cut of which he disavowed, famously taking out these big trade publication ads attacking Ed Norton and other people involved in the project.
Mm-hmm. I think that it has, you know, the potential to be fantastic. I mean, like, Vito knows movies. Like, the guy, he's grown up with movies, you know, in a lot of ways he's a cinematic individual. I think that it's going to be excellent, really. But what did you hear about it?
I heard that. I think it's a very auteur-driven piece, mm-hmm. shall we say. So I think it'll be a little bit unexpected, new, different. But, you know, Vito is in the film, is the lead. And I don't know. I just think it's absolutely incredible because he's living in a movie every single day of his
right,
life, it
exactly.
seems like. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's got a certain amount of charisma and star power, and I hear it really shines. It'll really shine on the screen. So I'm looking forward to that.
Very much so.
I think that'll be pretty fun. Other things coming up. I mean, it's going to be a crazy couple of weeks. Neither of us are making it to Seoul. We've discussed that.
No,
a lot of people that I'm talking with are on the fence. Even dealers, you know, it's just really squeezed in. They have big openings at museums in LA and
mm-hmm.
their galleries in New York and yada yada. And many of them have very, especially the bigger galleries I'm seeing with, have really established teams in Asia that they feel are probably super capable of handling that. But
mm-hmm.
I'm bummed not to be going. Hopefully we can look forward to a 2023 trip if they just give me a little bit of breathing room between the Labor Day holiday and getting on that 18-hour whatever it is flight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the baby made it impossible for me to go this year, but I'm already planning for my 2023 trip to Seoul because I know that it's going to be bigger and better than ever next year. Though it's going to be great this year too. I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you had a chance to listen to our last podcast where I sat down with Glimcher and he had some mm-hmm. good recommendations on hotels and the like.
That he did
because he spent a lot of time there.
Mm-hmm.
And what else is going on? What else is in the gossip? I heard, I don't even know what it was referenced to, but I heard Melrose Hill. I saw Melrose Hill, the phrase, in print again today, which is, I guess they're just going to make that fucker happen, huh?
I mean, at least, like, we got on top of making fun of it before it was even really legit. So we were on top of the backlash. No, but I mean, yeah, James Fuentes' opening gallery there. Look, it's going to be a thing. We're going to have to go to it. Are people saying it's the LA Dime Square? I don't know.
Thankfully, people in Los Angeles can neither read nor write, so we won't have to read tons of Medium think pieces about a micro neighborhood that doesn't really exist.
Do they have
so that's the upside. That's the upside.
Yeah, they don't have Substack there.
That IP is blocked. That IP is blocked in the zip code starting 90.
Everyone's too busy writing scripts or whatever that they do in cop shops all day. Yeah. So thank God there won't be think pieces about this place. We can just make fun of it in our vacuum and it'll be fine.
What else has been cruising on? We have Matthew Day Jackson going to Pace. Big news.
Big news.
I don't know.
I want to talk about the Groucho Club, and I want to make a direct appeal to the powers that be, and in this case that's Ivan Wirth, to let us in. We should be in the Groucho Club, me and you.
Listen, I've always kind of gotten myself into the Groucho Club in its past incarnation.
I want a card. I want to be an official member. I've been too. It's sick. It's great.
Yeah, Ivan, let's go. I mean, you know, hopefully they don't fancify it. Listen, the Groucho Club started in the 90s during the naughty 90s in London as the resurgence of that cultural capital kind of took prominence. And, you know, I've had some, I'll say it, crazy fucking nights that started and or ended or both started and then ended at the Groucho Club.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most crazy, which, so people don't know, it's a townhouse in Soho, which is sort of the nightclubby, red lighty, but also great restaurant district of London, has been for, I mean, going back like fucking over a century.
Oh yeah.
Writers, thinkers, bon vivants of all stripes congregating there. Great townhouse, redone in the model of the members clubs in London, which tend to be fairly staid, almost all male clubs for eating and drinking. Cool townhouse. They have some bedrooms, 5 or 6 restaurants, incredible bar. Who knows what else there? I've definitely never been inside during the daylight hours, although I'm sure they have a program that goes on there. I'm sure there's lots of people with laptops. So one night I'm there, it was for some, maybe it was a White Cube party. Let's just say it was a White Cube party.
Probably.
Some gallery party during Freeze Week, having a good time, free food, drinking all the drinks, a small bladder, going to the restroom a lot, and end up chatting with Fergus Henderson and his wife Margot, and just chatting, kind of partying, hanging out, drinking, like, oh, come with us. Maybe it becomes a crew of 5 or 6 people that leave the Groucho Club. We exit. They walk down Dean Street. I think we stayed on Dean Street. Mm. It gets a little hazy here. And like, oh, this is a really cool club. We buzz this buzzer. They say, oh, it's very good. We go down these stairs. It's this tiny room with black and white tiles. It's not blacks. Everyone tells me I was in blacks. It wasn't blacks. It might have been the Players Club or something that's theater affiliated.
Wow.
The most louche, dark, and decadent nightclub I've ever been. Ended up like sitting, smoking cigs with Margot in the kitchen until God knows what hour. Really just dancing to 80s hits. It was a true smash up, as they say over there.
A true smash up.
And those are the kind of nights that end up happening with the magic of the Groucho Club. And I haven't probably been there in 5 or 6 years. Even during Freeze Week, it fell off as a place to stop at, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's kind of good that it's getting a sort of glow up because, I haven't been in years.
Well, listen, here's what happened. The nights that I would have gone to Groucho, I now find myself toddling through the toilets of the Chiltern Firehouse.
Yes, that
I think that's exactly what happened.
Everyone
at least
just,
for me.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go where everyone else is, you just go to the Chiltern, and there's no real reason to go anywhere else.
Maybe I wonder if that's still true. You know, it's interesting that a certain a new school cultural influencers are just discovering the Chiltern for the first time. But I feel like it's I've been there, done that every time I walk through at this point. That room gets real small, and the service at the bar doesn't get any faster.
No. Even at 3 in the morning, it's still very slow.
Jesus Christ. This Italian form of style.
Did it get TikToked or something? Is that what you mean by the younger generation discovering?
No. It was on a far more regular and popular podcast.
Okay.
That also features 2 straight bros.
There's nothing wrong with other people liking the Chiltern,
No, but it just feels a little bit late to be experiencing the Chiltern for your first time.
Right. Well, maybe the Hauser and Wirth, experience will already be up and running at the Groucho by the time we're there in October.
It's almost like saying Berkeley Square instead of Barclay Square. You know what I mean?
But we've never made that mistake.
Yeah, I guess a college education does count for something. Anyway, Nate, yeah, I'm gearing up. I just got I got a preview for Dan Colin's show, Akigozi. Right. That was interesting. I forgot that was coming up. Mm-hmm. Pretty interesting paintings. I'm keen to see what happens there.
Yeah, I've also received word of that show. And, I mean, that whole week is going to be nutty. Not only is there Independent and the Armory, there seems to be just, you know, 100 different openings, most of them on Thursday. I've gotten, I think, 6 different dinner invites for Thursday alone.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm free if anyone wants me. No, I'm not going out these days. I another big Egosian opening happening is not in September, it'll be in October, I believe, but I haven't seen the preview for the Anna Wyman paintings, but someone showed me some of them on a screen device. Mm-hmm. And they feature a muse of sorts, a big heavyweight art world mover and shaker, and I believe employee of the Gagosian Galleries.
I heard the same, and I spoke to this employee about how she felt about it, and she said something along the lines of, "Well, it's me, but it's not really me, you know, because
it doesn't look terribly like her, yeah.
You know." And so I think that the sort of metatextual element of incorporating a Gagosian employee, one of some renown, into a show at Gagosian is just one of Anna's fun jokes. They're also very close friends. They're like best friends.
Yeah, yeah, so, of course. And the paintings are huge, man. Fucking really? Huge. Yeah.
I'm very excited. You know, I've always been a fan of Anna's.
I know you have. And what else? Is there any other big gossip? I've been like kind of keeping my head down, I gotta say. I'm seeing all the same art world people, but I'm gonna mention the names because it's the same 5 or 6 people I see at the time out here.
I mean, I've had such a little time in the city just last night. I mean, no notable sightings. I did do a nice little 4-hour stint at La Dive and Clandestino in the heart of Dime Square because I just had to tap in. And it's August, man.
But it seems like all the Dime Square kiddos, they skedaddled to Los Angeles for the summer.
Right, yeah. I don't know what the fuck was going on over there. It looks like some insane like Web3 crypto shit that is just way over my head.
No, I don't think it is. I think it's just, you can rent a pretty decent house out there for not much money.
Or that.
You know, I know we are both very excited, you and I, for speaking of food and your writing, mm-hmm. this La Roque opening. Has it opened or is it opening in Roque Center?
I believe that it's either soft opening or open. It looks incredible. It's a grand bistro from the chef owners of one of our favorite restaurants, Frenchette, formerly of Balthazar. And it looks amazing. I mean, I was like audibly making noises just looking at pictures of the seafood towers and the steaks.
The menu is beyond good looking. Mm-hmm. Do you think you could throw in our name and see if we can't get like a 4-top sometime early in that first or second week of the season?
I'm sure we probably
maybe
could.
Invite a couple friends of the show. We'll make it a nota bene expense. Don't worry, I get the corp card.
I think I just gotta knock that fucking Frenchette bat phone, which I have.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. That's why I'm asking you here live, and now you can't get out of it because I've asked you to do it, and all these people are going to hear it. We were supposed to have a couple of really high profile guests today, but summer intrudes. One of them's family decided it had to be a beach day.
It had to be a beach day. I understand.
And that's fine. I'm stuck inside here podcasting against a screen, but it is beautiful. I did link with them at the aforementioned Barry's, which is a terrible idea, terrible way to start the day. I'm
you sore? You sore, Ben? It's okay.
I'll be sore tomorrow.
If I had participated in the Vanity Fair versus the Drift softball game, I would also have been sore. But I'm also glad that I didn't because the Drift fucking cheated and stole a victory from us. I'm saying on air.
We got, by my count, 2 minutes. Do you want to tell the people how this this kind of upstart Brooklyn v. Manhattan publication? That's the Brooklyn one, right? The Drift?
I think so. They like go to Charlene's or something. I think they went to Yale. But they also
boo.
They just changed the batting order mid-game so all of the dudes on the team could just bat right at like one after another at the top of an inning. And like that's like the one rule that you can't break. You can't just like randomly change up the batting order in the middle of the game.
It's like insane. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I would like to lodge a formal protest. So I take it you're not coming out for the Artists and Writers game this weekend here in East Hampton?
You know what? I actually was trying to maybe finagle a way to get there. I don't think I can make another Hamptons trip. That would be the one thing I would go do. Also,
I've never been. I'm intrigued.
It's a blast. I mean, like, if you ever want to see what Jay McInerney looks like in pinstripes,
No, I don't. As long as he's acting this song. All right, you listen, I get a call coming in. I got to take this. Maybe I could actually sell something in August. Who the hell knows?
Always be closing. Always be closing.
All right, blah, blah. That's it from us.
All right, Note to Bene.
Out.